Good morning. It's Monday, March 4th, Benjamin Harrison Day. Old Benny Harris was our 23rd president, and I didn't know the guy. We didn't, like, run in the same circles back then, but I can tell you this. You talk about Benny Harris, you're talking about a Nepo baby. Harrison was the grandson of our 9th president, William Henry Harrison, best known for being the shortest serving president, as well as the first president to die in office when he died exactly 31 days after being sworn in. And his death is actually how we got to figuring out exactly how the line of succession worked. Because prior to that, the founders had been like, hey, we have a line of succession. And everyone was like, good job, probably never going to need it. And then they did. And they were like, but what does this mean exactly? So they unfortunately figured it out with our 9th president. Harrison is also the great-grandson of Benjamin Harrison V, one of our founding fathers. He was 50-50, sometimes good, sometimes bad. You know, people are complicated. But there we go, Benjamin Harrison Day. And now the news. Let's start with the Israel-Hamas war, where today VP Harris will meet with Israeli war cabinet member Benny Gantz, where they are expected to plan to increase aid into Gaza, including through more airdrops, like the ones that the Biden administration sent in on Saturday when 66 pallets, or about 38,000 meals, were dropped into Gaza. An advisor to Netanyahu says that actually Israel helped coordinate the drop, but then he also denied that people are dying of starvation in Gaza, which is not true. That is a lie. In fact, a UNICEF official says that in just the last few days, at least 10 kids have died from starvation, and nearly 16% of the kids in Gaza are acutely malnourished. So, you know, take the idea of coordination with a grain of suspicion. At today's meeting, Harris is also expected to reiterate that Israel has a right to defend itself from Hamas, but express concerns over the 1.5 million people that are taking shelter in Rafah, a city in the southern strip of Gaza. Prior to the war, just under 172,000 people lived in the city. That is just 25 square miles. Ceasefire talks continue, but it is unclear when or if they will actually start. Northern California's Sierra Nevada mountain range saw blizzard conditions that left homes without power and shut down part of the 80 freeway for a few hours over the weekend. That section of the freeway is also called Donner Pass, and yeah, it's named after the so-called Donner Party, where pioneers got stuck in a blizzard and had to, you know, start chomping. So it probably wasn't super comfortable for people to be stuck there in a blizzard this past weekend, but if you weren't there and you were on social media, some of the jokes were not bad. Some were not good, but some were solid. Anyway, everyone is out and currently safe, though the storm is still impacting thousands of people. It is a very dangerous situation up there. Yosemite even told parkgoers to get on out of there. And from that story about climate change to this one, Texas's Smokehouse Creek wildfire is only 15% contained as of this recording. At least two people have died because of this fire that has burned 1.1 million acres and overtaken at least 500 structures. I did make a mistake in Friday's episode. I said this was the third largest wildfire in America, and all those other news outlets, like when I say other, like, oh, it's me and AP News, we're the same thing. I'm better, obviously. Anyway, all those other news outlets were referring to this as the second largest fire. And I felt so cocky because I was like, it's the third largest. Have you ever heard of looking something up, you fools? So embarrassing. Prepare to be shocked. I was wrong. The fire that I thought was the largest fire in America's history is actually a Canadian fire. It is the largest in North American history, not just America. So listen, I know a lot about voting, okay? That William Henry Harrison stuff in the beginning, most of that came straight from my noggin. Other stuff I have to look up. I'm still learning. Goonies never say die, and apparently neither do Nikki Haley or Marianne Williamson. Let's start with Nikki Haley, who announced on Sunday that she no longer feels bound by the RNC pledge to support the eventual nominee. In other words, maybe I'll support Trump, maybe I won't. We'll see. This is big news, but you know what wasn't? Apparently, the RNC made this pledge a prerequisite for all candidates, and nearly everyone signed, except Trump. Classic. And also classic that no one said anything. They were like, meh, whatever. Trump's gonna Trump. What are you gonna do? But I say good for Nikki Haley here. You know, sometimes it takes campaigns a little while to find themselves, to figure out, like, what is the voice of the candidate? What are people really responding to? Unfortunately, Nikki Haley found her campaign a little too late, but I think she found it because she is here to let you know that she is 50-50 gonna vote for Trump. We'll see. She's either gonna endorse Trump or she's gonna explain her rationale when she inevitably gets a show on MSNBC. Either way, I am here for her sticking around. It does not help Trump to have her still in the race, and anyone that can be a thorn in his spray tan is welcome to do so. Meanwhile, Marianne Williamson suspended her campaign on February 8th and then unsuspended her campaign on the 28th. What would make her do this? What astounding numbers made her realize that her country is calling her to service? A 3% vote in Michigan. 3% of the people in the state voted for her, and she was like, all right, all right, I'll give the people what they want. I'm back, baby. 3%. Unsuspended her campaign. That is so funny to me. It's not unfunny. Unsuspended her campaign. 3%. You know what? She still did better than Dean Phillips. Hey, look at that. We got ourselves a record scratch. That is because the results of DC's Republican primary are in, and Nikki Haley has come from the outside. Actually, this one wasn't much of a surprise, but Nikki Haley has won her first primary. She has won the District of Columbia and their 19 delegates. In 2016, Trump received less than 14% of the vote in DC. This time, he won about 33%, but you gotta look at the numbers. This is a very, very small amount of people that are voting. We've got about 95% of the votes are in, 1,279 votes for Haley, 676 for Trump, and 38 for Ron DeSantis. Ron, I don't know if you heard, but Marianne Williamson unsuspended. No, don't. I'm just kidding. Ron, get out of here. Don't do it. Anyway, that's 19 delegates for Nikki Haley. Gotta be feeling good. Change is nothing, but we love to see it. It's all about taking points away from the other guy, you know? While we all wait patiently, like so patiently, the most patiently anyone has ever been, it sounds like we are possibly going to get some sort of Supreme Court ruling today. The problem is, the Supreme Court doesn't usually announce what rulings they're handing down before they do so. So we don't know what it's going to be. Tomorrow is Super Tuesday, so are we about to get the Colorado ruling? Are we about to get a Colorado ruling the day before the majority of delegates are handed out that says that actually Trump can't be on the ballot, even though he's currently on it? Or what happens if that ruling comes after Tuesday and Colorado's election? I mean, I don't think that's how they're going to rule, but I'm just saying. What if my brain just implodes and then explodes? Listen, I've said it a million times to you. I've never once meant it for myself. We can't time travel. We'll see what we see when we see it. We'll know more when we know more. We're going to get through this year. It's going to be a hard year, but we're going to get through it one election at a time. There is a Supreme Court ruling expected today. Who knows what it'll be? But when you really think about it, it kind of doesn't matter. Because tomorrow, there is an election. And the Supreme Court can hand down whatever rulings they want. Elections. Voting. Is how we craft our future. And that's it. That's the news. Guess what? This show here, the show that you know and love, is also now a Substack. I am at Kim Moffitt on Substack, a platform that I am only just now learning how to use. So, you know, go with grace. But I'm there, and the hope is that those newsletters will add a little bit more to this show, like gin and tonic, two great things that go great together. You can subscribe for free. Also, if you're in a Super Tuesday state, head on over to raisingvoters.org to get your election information. And if you're not in a Super Tuesday state, still head over there. We built you a real nice website. It's looking sharp. And you know what? I'll just say it. More than Benjamin Harrison. It's Monday, and I'm proud of you.